Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I feel kind of bad because I didn't do a real good promo on the fact that Russ Dizgar is going to join us here this morning, and he is live and in color here in the queue. Of course, I'm banned on Facebook. I don't even know who I would tell. Those of you who are on Facebook who keep sending me messages, I want you to know I'm not rude. I would answer them, but I can't. I've been a bad boy. I'm in jail, so I got about 16 more days to be in jail, and then I'll get out again and try to be nice to you. YouTube, you know, I don't mess around much on YouTube. I'm banned. I mean, it's just crazy, isn't it? Crazy what's going on. It's an information war that we're fighting. When Alex Jones came up with that years ago, Infowars.com, I didn't have any idea what he was talking about. And now it's becoming more and more obvious to us exactly what he's talking about. If Russ has bags under his eyes, understand he stays up late. He stays up late and howls with werewolves. And so we got him up early this morning here, and he's agreed to come and be with us today. Hey, listen. So right now, folks, go onto your Facebook page, wherever you would go, and send out an alert. Say, hey, Russ Dizdar is live with Coach right now. Go here. Russ, we've been having problems only in that no matter how many times I tell people, go to CoachDaveLive.com. I'm always there. They still go to Facebook. They still go to YouTube. And then they say, where are you? We can't find you. Where? So, you know, we're trying to figure out different ways to get the word. Russ got a lot of stuff today I want to talk to you about. Let me address this head on. And Jared, while I'm doing this, get that Russ Dizdar piece I have for you there. It starts at the 7:30 mark. It's on I want to show a little bit of that video you did with David Heavener, Russ. I thought there's something you said at the end of that I thought was really, really powerful. I make jokes occasionally, Russ, about tinfoil hat. I don't know if you can see me. I even have one that I put on occasionally. Tinfoil hat. But you know, I think I'm going to quit doing that. I think I'm going to, because I think the more that I talk about tinfoil hat, the more it gives people the right or the permission to write me off. It's crazy, right? Yeah. And so I play right into their hands, say, well, here comes the tinfoil hat stuff. And Russ, it ain't tinfoil hat. It isn't.
No.
Isn't it amazing that all those things that the Kennedy assassination, let's go down through it, you know, right? The Kennedy assassination, 9-1-1. I mean, we could run through the whole litany of things that they told us we were crazy, and now we know we weren't crazy.
That's right.
The Warren Commission, no, we weren't crazy, and we're not crazy now. And, but Russ, I have to be honest, that's one of the biggest things that I fight is, what would be the word? Credibility. Over 30 some years that you've been doing this stuff, poking the church in the eye. Mm-hmm. How have you learned to deal with that, Russ? The fact that Alex Dizdar, that dude's crazy.
Eventually, I just begin to I don't care about the skeptics anymore, Dave, and those that even within the body of Christ or church system, I don't care about the skeptics any longer. There's vastly too many, you know, victims, and the reality is bigger than ever. 30 years ago, it was a little harder to kind of prove or talk about, but now, because there's just volumes of individuals and volumes of the demonic stuff and the pedophile stuff and the human trafficking and the drug trade stuff. So we're going to keep screaming how real it is, but we're going to be committed biblically. We got to be committed to the evidential side of it. We're not interested in photoshopping. We're not interested in, just innuendo. What's the facts? You know, like that old cop used to say on that one cop show. What's the facts? So, and that's the Ezekiel 8 thing. There are facts. There are, you know, and when God is opening the door in that direction, we want to expose. So our key is engaging the victims. I had that question, same kind of question. I was on Coast to Coast, probably 10 million listeners or whatever they said. And someone came on and said, hasn't all that stuff about satanic ritual abuse been disproved? I said, well, why don't we ask the 8 or 9 million victims? What are you going to do with the victims? What are you going to do with the pedophile victims? You know, we've got them all around us, and not everybody's investigating. Not everybody's going after it. We are, and we're going to train a lot of people to go after it in the right way. And I believe God's going to give extraordinary, uncontested evidences, but we're going to be training a lot of people to do this investigation, kind of like Ezekiel chapter 8, go after it that way, bring it out consistently. But have a grid, have a bottom line foundation of biblical truth, because biblical prophecy told us in advance this is going to happen. And so we are rooted in biblical truth, biblical prophecy. We want to be ahead of the game, ahead of the stuff, instead of 30 years behind, running around either like a skeptic that can't help themselves. Skeptics, even Christian skeptics, they can't help themselves, Dave. They can't help anybody else.
No, and Russ, you know, I think about Ephesians 6, I think it is, where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers.
Sure.
Against evil spirits in high places. Now, Russ, let's just unpack that. The average pastor who reads that in his Bible, what does he think that means, Russ? Because I want to lead you into another area, too, and that is this idea. I've been accused of teaching doctrines of demons. What's that word you have for that, Russ?
It's in the biblical Greek, it is didache daimonoia.
Didache daimonoia. Didache daimonoia. That is Ephesians 6, is it not, Russ?
That phrase comes from 1 Timothy 4, where the Holy Spirit says definitively that seducing spirits are going to come. And then they're going to try to deceive the many. Then they're going to use people to bring out. Didache means teachings, demons inspiring teachings. It's going to come through them. Oh. So whether you look at 1 Timothy 4 or 1 Corinthians or Ephesians 6, it's all the same. It's all connected.
Jared, go to 1 Timothy 4. Keep going, Russ.
Yeah, 1 Timothy 4, 1 and down is where the Spirit of God, the biblical Greek word means he expressly, definitively, loudly says that in the last days, the biblical word again is planos spirits, a certain classification of demons, imposters, seducers. They're coming to seduce the many, deceive many, and then they're going to use people as vessels to write like Helena Blavatsky, like Alice Bailey, like Course of Miracles, like 10,000 other books, contrary to scripture, where the Spirit of God guided all the writers, all 40 writers. The Spirit of God inspired the writings of scripture. Well, counterfeit to that, demons are inspiring people to write writings that will draw people and deceive them.
Okay, Russ, hang on with me, Russ. I got it right up here on the screen, folks. Now, so this is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now, listen, hey, folks, you can put on your tinfoil hat or you can take it off. I don't care. This is the scripture. This is the Bible. And let's sit here and forget what some 6-foot icicle told you. Let's look at this. What does this say? Now, the Spirit speaketh express. Russ, that's pretty direct, isn't it? The Spirit, what Spirit? The Spirit of God is speaking expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What's that word, Russ?
Daimonoia.
Speaking lies and hypocrisy. What's speaking lies and hypocrisy? The seducing spirits. Right. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them, which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if we receive for thanksgiving, yada, yada, yada. So, Russ, let's go back up there just to that verse, What the heck? Huh? Seducing spirits. See, Russ, I'm hearing from those who say that the coaches, coach, you're talking about doctrines of demons. In other words, they say that I'm crazy talking about devil spirits. Russ, that's not what this is saying. This is saying that the demons are going to be teaching us the doctrine. Isn't that what it's telling us?
It does. And I think that if we, you know, again, you can't teach the Bible, you can't preach the Bible without touching on this issue. It's there. Think in terms of the fall of the human race. It wasn't by ourselves. A non-human, Satan, entity came into the garden and engaged humanity. Here you have a non-human. Here's Satan, you know, masqueraded in the garden. He brings this deception and brings a fall. He leads it. I mean, we sinned, we did it, but we didn't do it on our own. There's a non-human, Satan himself, that enters in and leads the human race astray. You have this all through the Old Testament. Satan rose up against Israel. And entice David to sin. You come to the New Testament and you have Jesus in Matthew 4 engaging Satan in a audible where Satan is trying to even, he has the audacity to even try to bring down the Son of God. So, you know, when you look at all of this, look at Jesus casting out demons. Look at Mark chapter 5. Look at the rest of, you know, the engagement that Jesus, you know, does, it brings to people that are demon possessed. Then he teaches us, the believers. Why are we given authority over all the dark spirits? Why are we given authority over all the power, all of that? Why are we told to put on the armor of God so we could make our stand against the devil? Why are we warned that Satan is roaming around, 1 Peter 5:8, seeking someone to devour? Why are we told in Ephesians 6:10 on down, put on the armor of God? We're to have the power, the might, and the strength of God by putting on the armor of God. The only reason for putting on the armor of God is because of the enemy. And prophecy teaches us, biblical instruction teaches, the closer to the end we get, more demonic presence, more satanic presence, more counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, more false, demonically, satanically inspired, false teachers, false doctrines, more of all of that than collective history. So I would say that anybody that thinks this is too much, they are horribly deficient in biblical knowledge, or they're afraid and they're just ignoring it.
Okay, Russell, that opens up another one, and I don't want to get too deep into this theological discussion, but I think it really, really does matter. And that's the denial of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, when we read in the book of Acts, Paul comes to him, it wasn't Paul, I can't remember who, it doesn't matter, said, have you guys received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And their response was what? Well, I ain't never even heard of it. What are you talking about? What do you mean? And the scripture teaches in the book of Acts that you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And Russ, I come in contact with a lot of people. I'm not talking about cessation and tongues. I'm not talking about that. But Russ, there is a real true baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, there's 11 times in the book of Acts, Stephen filled with the Holy Spirit, Barnabas, a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, Paul in Acts chapter 9 gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and in every case of 11 times in the book of Acts, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, they became powerful soul winners, there were healings, deliverances, even the miracles occurred around Spirit-filled people. We are commanded in Ephesians 5 to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have that all the way through the book of Acts. Even in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus said, you shall receive power from on high. You'll be clothed with power from on high. And really, if you look at Acts and just look at all the Spirit-filled people there, they were seeable. They were demonstrative. They were on the field. That's power, dunamis, felt conscious power of the Holy Spirit of God. It's abnormal not to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Well, what was it? Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? In other words, they didn't recognize that spirit that was then, right? And so, Russ, the things that you do and the things that we're talking about today, if you think that you can do that, folks, I'm just trying to cut to the chase, be as nice to y'all as I can. If all you've had in your experience as a Christian is being born again, if that's as deep as you've gone with the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, You're fighting with one arm tied behind your leg. What's Rush Limbaugh say? One hand tied behind my back just to make it fair?
Yeah.
That's the truth, right, Russ? And so
right.
The infilling of the Holy Spirit. See, we can't get trapped up in, oh, my, the gifts of the Spirit. We chase the gifts and, you know, speaking in tongues and giving utterances. And that's such a minute part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the infilling from the Spirit on high to empower you to take on these demons that we're reading about here in Ephesians, huh?
Sure. You can look at Jonathan Edwards, Andrew Murray, B.F. Meyer, Dwight L. Moody. You can go on and those kind of – look at these people that were clearly clothed, filled, empowered. I mean, the Spirit of God gives power to be a witness, like Jesus said. I've seen that on the field. If you're really filled and clothed, baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have power, and you're going to become a witness of Jesus. You're going to want to. Here's what it's like throwing. If Jesus is the fire, and the Holy Spirit is gas, throw gas on the fire. Guess what happens? Major flame of Jesus. So why wouldn't anybody want to be filled with the Spirit of God? I mean, Jesus said we would be. We're commanded in Ephesians 5. We're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're to be Ephesians chapter 3, filled to the measure of the fullness of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. So listen, the Spirit of God guides us, teaches us, illuminates the Scripture. In worship, I don't care. You know, people are like, well, don't talk about feelings. But I feel the power of the Holy Spirit in worship. I feel the power of God on the field. I feel the power of God in the context of deliverance. Luke 5:17 says, the power of the Lord was present to heal the sick. So just people, listen, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and the works of God are inseparable. We have to have the works of God and the Word of God. Look at Acts chapter 1, all about Jesus, what he did, works, and what he said, word. Word and the supernatural works, winning souls, seeing healing, deliverance, even every answer to prayer. Dave, every answer to prayer is a supernatural thing.
Amen.
It's nuts for anybody to say Christians aren't. When we say supernatural, we mean beyond us as a human. We don't go out answering our own prayers. God sends angels to do that. Look in Daniel. Look in Acts chapter. Look where Mary's house. They're praying. Peter's in prison. God dispatches an angel. Paul and Silas in prison. He causes an earthquake and shake and opens all the doors. Acts chapter 4. They raise their voices together to God in prayer. The power of the Holy Spirit comes down and shakes the building. Mm. Listen, the body of Christ should be the most supernatural. God should be all over the place.
Amen. Amen. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So Russ, those who are fighting without the Holy Spirit, it really gets to me, Russ. Here's the thing. We were doing some street ministry in Indianapolis last week on the street. And I shared this with our audience earlier, but you don't know this story. And some guy comes up to me, one of our fellow ministers comes up to me and says, hey, coach, man, this is this girl over here. I think she's got a demon or something. So I go over and I ain't Russ Dizdar, but I've watched you and I've followed and I've been on shatterthedarkness.net and I've listened to it. So I just went over and I just looked her right in the eyes and in the name of Jesus, who's in there? Identify yourself. Who are you? And Russ, her eyes got real big and she bore right straight in on mine and she looked away for once and then she came back and I said, in the name of Jesus, who are you? And Russ, you know what she said to me? She said, Lilith. Huh.
There you go.
Now, I'd never heard who Lilith was, so I wasn't making it up, right? Lilith, she said it about three times, Lilith. Well, afterwards, I grabbed my cell phone and I went over and I Googled Lilith. Russ, you can't make that stuff up, right? You know who Lilith was, Russ? Yeah. You know? I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Yeah,
that goes back to the Old Testament, Jewish Kabbalah. And she's a spirit of great incubus, succubus. I mean, yeah.
And so we're out there, got this pro-life display set up. And who shows up? Lilith shows up. And Lilith is there to consume the babies. And oh, my goodness, to destroy the seed. But Russ, I got to tell you, brother, 6 years ago, I wouldn't have had the power, authority, or will to even go. I wouldn't have known what to do. Right? I was in church. I've been in church 25 years, and I had no idea how to do that had I not heard you teach how to do it.
Yeah. Hey, Coach.
It's an authority issue. At the name of Jesus, they have to speak and identify themselves. Somebody, come on.
Hey, Coach, was that the lady kind of like a reddish, blondish kind of hair?
I was looking at her eyes. Her eyes were dark.
Okay, yeah, because I think that's who it was, because we recognized her the day before. And, brother, that last day before I put you on the show, she came right up, and I was standing right by the cross, brother. My spirit discerned it right off. And in just that low voice, like Jesus did when that Gennesaret, that the devils were on him, he was rebuking them as they came. Brother, she got within 10 feet of the cross, brother, and her head jerked so hard left, I thought it was going to come off her shoulder, and she just walked right away so quickly. I think it was that same one.
We don't understand the authority, see. Now, look, fellas, I wish I could have filmed it. When she looked, Russ, you've seen that look before, that deep, dark, vacant look in their eyes, and she says, Lilith, and kind of smiled as she said it. And I said, Lily? She says, Lilith. Mm-hmm. And she went that long, Lilith.
Yeah.
Man, oh man, oh man. So Russ, before they get thinking that we're too crazy, I don't care if they do, brother. I'm like you anymore. I don't care. Let me ask this question. Another thing that you've taught me, and I've shared this a number of times, Russ. I said, aren't you scared, man? The places you go and the things that you do, aren't you scared? And I'll never forget it. You said, Coach, my life's in the Lord's hands. My life's in the Lord's hands. If he takes me, he takes me. They're not going to be able to do anything to me without his permission. Expound on that, Russ.
Yeah, you know, that's what we are as believers. You know, Romans 8 tells us that God's at work for the good for us, but God is for us. Who's going to be against us? What's going to separate us from the love of God? Anything? Even death itself? So we as believers need to, quit hanging on to this fallen world that's passing away. In First John, this system that it's passing away. Now, it's not that I'm a dad, I'm a grandfather, I'm married. I want to win 10,000 people. I want to do a lot of stuff. But but if someone, like we were in Pennsylvania, in the backwoods, things like that, we have threat level stuff going on. You know, if I was to get, if I'm dead and gone, just know one thing. I'm up there saying, I made it before Coach did. It's okay. I'm not going to say Jesus, I'm not happy up here. I would rather go back. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Stephen didn't complain. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. So ultimately, we're all going to die. Don't we realize this? Yeah, ultimately, we're all going to die somewhere. So die as a real believer. Die with courage. Die with the power of the Holy Spirit all over you. Die well in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Folks, let me open up. Somebody have a question. Then, Russ, I want to take you to something, folks. This is really, really critical. And all this pedophilia, this child trafficking, all this stuff going on around us that the media's trying to tell us isn't true. Folks, it is so true. And Russ, I want to dive into that a second, but I want to open it up to anybody might have a question for you at this point.
Sure.
Yeah, I have one quick one, Russ. That, before we got on here, you were talking about, I think it was the bishop. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I'm glad you asked that. We had put up on the Facebook, on our websites, if you saw the composite picture of a kind of religious-looking person, maybe Amish-looking, holding up a little girl naked, and there's three other girls in the corner cowering down. We've already talked to two of the victims. This has been bugging me for 2 years to find the little girl and to engage that bishop. Well, this last weekend, after many prayers and God's guidance and leading and friends on the ground in the area of Belleville, Pennsylvania, we visited that bishop's church. We sat down face to face, basically saying, "Thou art the man. You're the guy. You're the son that had that is the father of the little girl." We shared with him. So we confronted face to face That person in the composite picture. It's not over. We confronted others in a sex ring that involves people in the fire department. It involves people that are well known. It involves very high crimes, drugging people, kidnapping, holding, sexual pedophile rape. It involves, they filmed, and we're very close to finding film concerning this whole issue. We got other victims coming forward. We've written to district attorneys and the attorney general. And the next step's going to be feds, barring whatever else occurs. We've also been given threats concerning it.
Russ, for our listeners, and man, we haven't had you on for quite a while. In fact, I called you this week because my wife elbowed me and said, "How come you haven't had Russ on?" So you can thank Michelle for that one.
Thank you, Michelle.
For those who are not up to date on this, Russ, talk about the difference between SRA, satanic ritually abused, and child sex trafficking, or are they the same?
Well, no, they're in their origin, they're not the same. Child sex trafficking is all about the sex, all about the perversion, all about the money, and it's off the charts. The feds know this. Law enforcement knows this. Thank God many churches and folks are growing in their knowledge, and they're stepping out, and they're doing things about it. But there are mass numbers of victims. The global estimate of human trafficking and pedophile-type rings, 27 million on a global scale. So stop
there a second. What do we – when you say child sex trafficking – for those of us in the cornfields of Ohio, what does that mean?
That means that pimps, really bad, wicked individuals, are abducting kids, taking kids, and then trafficking like they would do drugs. They are taking them to other cities. They are having places to where men can come. It's all coordinated, and they're offered to the individuals. So. That's on a global scale. That's huge.
They're selling kids.
Look at Craig Sawyer, the Navy SEAL. That whole team, they're out there. I called him when we were in Pennsylvania for some help on a couple of things. That's happening on a broad scale. So that's happening everywhere. And every Christian, listen, this is such a menace. Think in terms of one little boy, one little girl that's been captivated, taken, and then put in a cage and put in a bed and made to have sex 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, days and days and days, years and years and years. I was just in Pennsylvania, in Allentown, Pennsylvania. We took a girl that watched a little boy, a 6-year-old, being sexually used and then killed. We took her to detectives in Allentown, Pennsylvania, just a few days ago. After that, after taking her there, we went to the Hava Java coffee shop, and this woman will tell you, she's told us, and I'm trying to talk her into writing a book on the subject. She was abducted when she was 3, used in human trafficking until she was 11. So we have millions that this is happening to. The drug lords down in Mexico, because a lot of the drug stuff has been intervened on, they've gone to human trafficking. Many of the kids being brought up have been human trafficked. Many of them are being brought up. It's a global menace, and we got to make war on this issue.
Russ, it's not just faces on milk cartons. I mean, this is absolutely real. Now, Russ, let me try to make a connection here. Does this have anything to do with the explosion in America of child pornography? Are these two things connected?
It's inseparable. For example, the case inside Belleville, Pennsylvania. Part of the case involves not only the guys drugging underage girls, sexually using them in the worst, horrific ways with multiple men. They had one of the young men film everything, take pictures, and videotape. Why would they do that? To sell it. To perverted people, to sell it to perverted, addicted pedophile kind of people. It's a multi worldwide. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry. You understand? It's like the drug phenomenon. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. It's inseparably connected to the porno stuff. And thank God you're hearing more and more stories of huge rings being caught, but it's scratching the surface. The body of Christ, millions of us, we have to make war on this. We have to go after it aggressively.
Jared, get ready, Jared. The one I forwarded you from Kevin Bushy. Hey, so Russ, talk about the spiritual issue or the spiritual consequences of pornography.
Well, sure. I mean, we're created. Listen, God created us with a chemical system that responds sexually. And so when a man sees a woman and they eventually get to come together to be husband and wife, when sexual relationships are engaged and all the arousal all the way to climax, this is important to understand. There's literally an imprint that occurs between a husband and wife to where that sexual arousal and love and climax is imprinted on both sides, and it makes us one. Mm. It's a great thing. It's a good thing. God created sex as a good thing, and it involves procreation. Now, on the perverted side, exploited side, the dark side, and sin manipulates it in every kind of way. And because there's a chemical side, the pornography, like especially with guys, and now girls too, but guys, seeing things visually begins that process.
Right.
So the battle has to be won in the head first. If you win the battle in the head, and victory, I'm telling you, victory is available in Jesus. You can be free, because it all happens here. Whatever's happening up here goes out into practice and leads people to see things and do things and buy things and sometimes drives them to go find whatever they can find, or to criminal. I mean, it's that kind of a thing.
I watched a video the other night, an interview with Jeffrey Dahmer, and I know that you're up to date a little bit more on Jeffrey Dahmer than what the average guy would be. But Jeffrey Dahmer talked about how pornography fed everything that he did. It became obsessed. He became obsessed with it. Now we could say chemicals, but just a spiritual influence on that, right? He opens. When you look at that pornography, you open your eye gate, your ear gate, you open yourself up to, what's that word, say that for me again, guys.
Didache daimonia.
Yeah, you open yourself up to that stuff, don't you?
Absolutely, you do. And now, you mentioned earlier the Ephesians chapter 6 thing. We're told that our battle is not against flesh and blood, and we read in the English, but against principalities, powers, and so forth. Well, the four defined demonic entities are Cosmocrator, Archon, Exousia, and Porneus Numenikai.
Stop talking like that, Russ.
Yeah, Porneus Numenikai is one of those listed in Ephesians 6. That would be considered the unclean spirit, the kind that would be driving people sexually. People who get into the sin pattern of wrong sexuality and perverted sexuality open the door for demonic presence. Not only do they tempt people to go that direction, but eventually, if you stay in that direction long enough, we have possessed people that are driven to attack sexually, driven to go after things, driven in that whole world. There's no question that it opens the door. And especially, listen, we're talking I believe in the world of pedophilia, there are many men and or women, but men specifically, that are demonized, and that's why they'll take risks. They'll go anywhere they want. You know, they're driven by their own sin and the door they open. But necrophilia is on the rise everywhere. The church is going to have to deal with people coming in that have been engaging corpses, sex magic with Crowleyans. Sex magic is all over the place. New Agers are involved. Tantra sex, all of this, yoga, Kundalini spirit, all of that involves demonic presence and a drive for that sexual addiction.
Daimonia.
Yeah.
That's what it is, right?
Yeah, it is. And literally, when we say the word didache or the teaching, it is a demon revealing or speaking or guiding. That can occur in movies. Somebody led by a demon to do movie stuff. That could be a demon guiding a music person to write a lyric, to where lyrics are charged and demonically given, or write a book or speak it. So didache daimonoi is a huge thing in the end of days. It's a big thing. It's meant to deceive many.
So those of you who watch the show regularly, Russ may not, this may be a curveball to you, Russ. We're talking about waves, right? Wavelengths and everything that's going on with shortwave radios and AM and FM and now 5G. Waves, 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 waves. And some of this stuff is being demonically controlled. Jared, pull up there real quickly on the screen, Russ. I don't know if you should be able to see it on yours. Click on John Smith there. Russell, there it is. Former Columbus police officer indicted on child porn charges. Now, Russ. This ain't former. He's former because they just fired him like a month ago when they got the charges.
Yeah.
Former Columbus officer indicted on child porn charges. Now, yeah. I feel sorry for this guy. Can I tell you why? Because it just started out him looking at a Playboy, or it just started out him looking at some porn. And the next thing you know, it takes you where you don't want to go. Why? Because there is a spiritual influence that happens and you become demonically controlled. Didache daimonoi. The doctrines of devils. Do you think that this guy got up in the morning every day and loved what he was doing and was proud of it? And he prayed and prayed and prayed. Probably, I don't know if he prayed, wanted to get rid of it. But Russ, it took him so deep, he couldn't get away from it. And Russ, how much of this is going on? And people aren't being caught. Now, Russ, I'm talking good people who get hooked on didache daimonoi. Yes or no?
Yes, I mean, that's true. The majority are not caught. The majority are not, just like drug lords and drug pimps. The truth is, I'm glad that there's many people being caught, many people being dealt with, but the majority are not caught. That's just the truth of it worldwide. And again, here's the alarming thing. The biblical prophecy shows that more sexual decadence and a demon connection to sexual addiction, it's going to continue to grow. It's going to grow like crazy. Now, we've mentioned, Dave, the pedophile side of things, the human trafficking that are all linked together. But let's go one step below that. Satanic ritual abuse.
Yeah.
That's different. Now, that's where we focus on. That's our field for 38 years. Satanic ritual abuse includes being born into it. They're all born into it. They're all highly traumatized, split, and damaged mentally, emotionally, spiritually, sexually, physically. They're controlled. They have so many episodes. So when you have satanic ritual abuse, you have individuals that have been split in their personality, programmed in some of the personalities, demonized, and then controlled in their covens. On a global scale, four generations at least, 100 million worldwide. That's below the surface of human trafficking, and there is a connection. They do use the sexual side for making money, and yet satanic ritual abuse is even bigger and broader, but again, demonically, satanically, supernaturally shielded. That's their big baby underneath the surface. In the United States, 10 million or more victims.
Okay, so Russ, I'm going to connect a dot here for our audience, although it may not be totally connecting it. Jared, go to the stuff I sent you and bring up Operation Paperclip. Because all this, folks, I want you to understand that what Russ is bringing to you and what I'm trying to bring to you today is to show how, what is it? Didache daimonoi is at work in many different facets of what we see going on. Now, I'm not a big believer or follower of Wikipedia, of course, but at the same time, you can't deny what's on here. And so I went to Wikipedia, and here it is, Operation Paperclip. This isn't a religious site. This isn't anything. And what is Operation? It's a secret program of joint intelligence operation agency, largely carried out by special agents of the Army, in which more than 1,600 German scientists, engineers, and technicians, yada, 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 were recruited into post-Nazi Germany, taken to the U.S. government for employment, and primarily between 1945 and 1955, whatever it says, were former members, and some were former leaders of the Nazi Party. Russ! This spirit of called Nazism, whatever you want to, has been, we recruited that thing and brought it in from Germany. Yes or no?
You're absolutely right. It's like, kind of like a satanic black Trojan horse. They brought it in because they wanted it on the military side, but they didn't realize the satanic agenda. It, again, from the biblical revelation, Christians and leaders should have been at the forefront. Because of their neglect and their dereliction of duty, they've bowed to secular rationalism. They've bowed to the culture to not talk about the satanic agenda. It is the driving force behind all of it. So what we see in Operation Paperclip, and that went to the Germans and went to the Brits and went to the Canadians. It went worldwide. So that spiritually charged conquest to conquer the world, to build a master race. Look at Himmler. Himmler himself said, if we could create but 200 million of these God men from, you know, the development of the Aryans, if we could create 200 million, we could not only conquer the world, but maintain it and rule it for 1,000 years. They had a demonic, straight from Hell's Kitchen, guided, directed, just like Scripture told. Just like Scripture shows in Revelation 12, Satan and his fallen angels, they're after the sum total of the whole world. We don't act like that. The church doesn't even act like that. The majority of believers, they don't know their authority. They don't know what armor of God is. And that's why they're defeated. That's why they're clueless. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, as you've said, I'm glad you said it, you can't help but open up all the Scriptures. That opens up your eyes to victory in the context of the dark side. We're to have victory. We're not to be deceived and let them run circles around us. We are that church that the gates of hell is not supposed to prevail against.
Amen.
We've been released right against a dark side supernatural force, and we have victory over the flesh. We have victory over the world. We have victory over demons. Let's obtain that, appropriate that from the Word of God, and let's live that beautifully and powerfully. And let's get out there and fight like Jesus did for the souls of men. And let's target human trafficking. Let's target abortion. Let's target pharmakia. Let's target the underground ritual abuse. Wow. Let's go after that. Who else is better equipped than those with the hand of God on them to do this?
Amen. You know what, Russ? My buddy David Arthur, the Alphabet Man, you met David when we were in he's with Tom Dunn right now. I'm doing a documentary. You know, he told me something I thought was really, really, really profound. He says, especially when you get into sexual sins, that demon never comes alone. He always brings a buddy with him. Yes or no, Russ?
Absolutely. In all the deliverances we've done, I've never met anybody on any level that has only one. Because we have one Holy Spirit of God, because he's God. We don't need a bunch more. We have God, the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4, greater is he who's in us than he's in the world. So we have God, the Holy Spirit. When they have demons, you got to remember, they're finite. Even though they're supernatural and more powerful than a human, they're finite. So they want more demons and more demons and more demons. And those demons want buddies to help get them and lock them in. So they're always more than one.
And Russ, you just said something, and the Holy Spirit, every once in a while, Holy Spirit hits me in the nose. That ever happened to you? Sometimes he hits me in the chest, but he just hit me in the nose. When you said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Russ, there is a he that's in the world, isn't there? There is one.
Isn't that the Bible? That's the Bible right there.
Unbelievable. Folks, I'm going to open it up. Somebody, come on, jump on in here.
You know, you talk about the recruiting the evil from the Nazi regime and all that. You know, I remember back in the 1960s, sitting in a Disciples of Christ church. That's like the first Christian church, is what they call themselves in your neighborhood. And our pastor came back from a national convention in Miami, and he was talking about the great advance that the church has made. And he, when he used the word church, he was talking about the denomination, the Disciples of Christ. The great advance that the church has made since the influx of knowledge from the Age of Enlightenment from the 1930s in Europe. You know, one of the mainline Protestant denominations has been importing the very same evil spirit, and I'm going to say it, God-damned spirit.
Sure, they are.
Since the 60s, on purpose, they have been importing it.
Yeah. Russ, it's all happened since then, hasn't it? It's all happened since the Second World War. All of the Dake demonolia has been happening since then.
Think about this. There's an occult writer, a historian, named James Webb. In a book called The Occult Establishment, here's what he said. There's two major proliferations of occult literature, doctrines of demons. One, pre-Nazi Germany, mass levels of literature and materials that led to the individuals, that led to the secret societies, that led to the Nazi doctrine, that brought about the rise of Nazism. So those doctrines of demons are deadly. The second largest proliferation of occult literature in history, according to an occult historian, the second is the United States in the 1960s.
Unbelievable, huh? Yeah. Tune in.
Hey, Coach.
All that stuff came rushing in on us. Yeah, George.
Russ, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, question. Yeah, good morning. Question for you. In how many cities across our nation would you estimate that the law enforcement, police officers, whatever, et cetera, are turning a blind eye to a lot of this sex trafficking?
Yeah. I would say that in every city there is – Let's say this. You know, I come out of the law enforcement as a police chaplain. I love cops. I love officers. I love folks. I know a lot of good ones. We have some on our team. But let's be factual about this too. There are some that there are some that are corrupt. Corrupt pastors or corrupt religious leaders are some of the worst ever. But then the next step. If there's corruption in the feds, corruptions among cops, they are the worst of the worst. They need to be, they need to be extricated out of those worlds, just like this guy in Columbus just got caught. So I'm going to tell you that everywhere we've gone, here's the biggest problem. In the world of sex trafficking, pedophilia, and all the rest of that, and ritual abuse, I've been to police academies where they taught on the subject. They allowed me to teach a little bit in the police academy on occult satanic crimes and so forth. The overwhelming neglect of teaching in the academy on how to identify, see it, deal with it. I mean, though there's now seminars and more being trained, most officers, even today that we deal with, have no clue about satanic ritual abuse, what it means, what the signs are, what the symptoms are, what a ritual set looks like. They don't know.
Most pastors don't understand it. Why would we expect the cops to understand it, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's part of the education. That's part of the drive to expose evil deeds of darkness and then have an answer for it. If we just expose it, we expose it. Let's have an answer. Let's get 10 million people on the ground, boots on the ground like you guys in front of abortion. Let's have the body of Christ by the millions clothed with the Spirit of God, being a soul-winning witness, but do it in the context of going after – let's target human trafficking, target the abortion world, target – I was with some of the guys – Coach, some of the guys that have been at the conferences. Like, we're going to be in Long Island here in just another couple of weeks.
Right.
Long Island, massive necromancy, Readers of the Dead. Long Island, Montauk, Camp Siegfried, Camp Hero – Nazis everywhere. Anybody can do a study of Long Island and see the Nazi camps and the influence there and the darkness there. Well, that's one thing. A lot of these conferences, you remember a very, very tall man named John, big tall guy named John?
John's a buddy of mine, sure do.
Okay, he's a buddy. He was with us for 4 days in Pennsylvania. He was with me in confronting the bishop and at least taking it right to him and saying, "You are the man." He was with us. two other guys from the conferences that I think are brave heroes stepping out, Kyle and Ryan, they were out there doing this. You know, that's all it takes is let's begin to take people out on the field. Let's do what the Book of Acts is. You know, God sent us to be on the field of human history. If we're not boots on the ground, we're not biblical in the Book of Acts Great Commission sense.
You know, Russ, the connection between Islam and all this, Russ?
Say that again, I'm sorry?
What's the connection between Islam and all this?
Oh, well, Islam has one of the largest territorial demonic entities driving on a global scale. They're going to play a big part in the Middle East when the Antichrist comes because they're going to be absorbed in that. They have the most deadly demonic demon territorial being. Every mosque, it's very similar to Daniel's day. Daniel had the Prince of Persia over the whole Persian kingdom, and they had 56 temples alone in Babylon. Every mosque is similar. It's a connection to the territorial demon. It is a visible picture of a collective demonic territorial presence that's all about blood, all about the elimination of Israel, all about being anti-Christian, anti-Christ. The Quran denies the deity of Christ, shreds the scripture.
A lot of pedophilia there.
The Quran itself is didache daimonia.
And you know, we have denominations that are doing fundraisers to help Islamists build their mosques in our country.
Insane. Insane. Why don't they just put an invitation out and say, welcome Satan?
Hey, Russ. This is Mark, real quick. You know, I'm working on working with a girl who has a pedophilia boyfriend who's got all involved with their kid and all this.
Right.
I guess I'd like you to share what to do when we got it close to home, a single event. We're not with a team. What do we do? Do we trust the police departments? What's our next steps when we run across these?
Good question, Mark.
And I'll tell you what I did in a conversation with an upper level federal officer. I told him that we're going to go into these certain areas. We got a number of cases. We're going to go into the certain areas. We're going to deal with exposing it. We're going to help the victims. We're going to confront perpetrators face to face, kind of like Nathan. We call it the Nathan principle, going straight to David. That concept of going in, you know, thou art the man type thing. So then we will go. His recommendation to me was, he said, Russ, go to the law enforcement first before you go to news media. Here's why he said that. News media scares the feds and the law enforcement folks because if it goes national, if it goes public, if it gets into the news, they don't want bad, you know, they don't want that bad publicity. So I'm saying this, that when we do all of this, if law enforcement and feds aren't going to move on stuff that I think would be credible, we have a number of cases that are very credible. We've contacted national media and local, and that's our next step on a couple of these cases, like Sandusky. The Sandusky case went national. That's when more victims came out. That's when an outcry came. That's when everything was driven in one direction. That's when law enforcement departments, they wanted to have all their ducks in the row. They wanted to do, you know, so what this federal officer said, news media and public attention puts pressure on law enforcement and feds to really get out there and do the job. So I want to help. I want to work with them. I want to turn over evidence. We've turned over states evidence on a death case of two girls. We're turning evidence on another thing right down in Newark, Ohio. And our next step in your area, Dave, is we're going public.
Amen. Okay, Russ, let me try to tighten this thing up here. We got about 6 minutes left. So let's say Paul Harvey did that video. If I was the devil. I'm sure we've all heard that, right? So if I were the devil and I was working actively in Nazi Germany in 1930s and early 1940s and that whole thing kind of fell apart on me and the United States government comes and takes some of our smartest minds and takes them over the good old US of A. And if I began to infiltrate into the good old US of A and I began to infiltrate into the colleges and into the schools and into Hollywood and to every area. I began to infiltrate. And if I began to get more and more and more powerful, at some point, Russ, when I thought we were about ready to bring the house down, when we were ready to close things down, wouldn't I make sure, Russ, that I had the people that I needed in positions of power? Wouldn't I have the CIA director on my team and the FBI director on my team and the wouldn't I have a McCabe? Wouldn't I have a Rosenstein? Wouldn't I have a Mueller? Wouldn't I have all of my guys in place so that when charges came to me, we'd be able just to bury him? Russ, can't people open their eyes and understand what we see going around on around us is the spiritual war? It's not just politics. Help me out here.
No, you're absolutely right. Behind all of it, and what you've just said is the biblical teaching of the satanic plot. Their goal is political, economic, military, and even the technological. They need that for the future when all that comes down. But right now, that's how it's always been. Look at Pergamos, where you know look at the seven churches, the Nicolaitans, the Jezebel, where Antipas was killed, Pergamum, the throne of Satan. If we don't, as believers, if we don't understand the spiritual battle and the reality of Satan, and that side collectively is going, they're going after the whole world. Does the church not know this? Has the church not read, you know, Revelation 12?
Yes. The Doce Demonoia, right? Russ, it's everywhere we look. It's not talking about them. It's their plan to overthrow Christ. Hey, Russ, I don't think they're going to be successful with you.
No, not at all. We have victory left and right. Jesus is coming. Decimation to their side's coming. We have victory in Jesus right now over the world, over the flesh, over the devil. Look at Revelation 19. We're going to come down. We're going to be descending with him. He's coming to destroy forever this Amen. Radical evil. There'll never be another pedophile. There'll never be another kid Amen. Rape. There never's going to be another ritually abused person. No more Amen. Of this. Jesus is coming. Amen.
We can be winning now, though, Russ.
We have to.
He comes. We can be winning right here, right now. Folks, I got about three or four minutes. Somebody will.
Throw in here real quick what Russ and you just said is so, so, so important, that those people that are out there in what they think is the church, they're out there saying, well, we're going to win in the end. It's all going to be taken. Jesus got victory over all of it. Well, how many of your grandchildren, your children, your neighbor's children, how many of them do you want to be molested before you get off your butt and do something about it?
Amen, Larry. And somebody else, come on in.
Coach.
Yep.
Question for Russ. Has he ever heard of the group Phoenix, the trafficking group called Phoenix out of Coshocton County?
I have not. I've heard of the Phoenix Project out of Vietnam, but yeah, I'd like to know about that. That's my state.
They're doing some training in our church. We brought them in. They're a small group, and they're training us on this trafficking stuff. And about 3 or 4 months ago, the one guy was involved with the Walmart deal. Their box truck pulling out of the parking lot with 19 or 29 children in it.
Right.
And I asked him the question, what's going to be done with this? And he looked at me and said, I asked him if it could be exposed. And he goes, I don't know. So I was waiting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Because I hate to say too much about it. They have their people in high places. They have their people in positions of authority. And those who are not in positions of authority, the God of this world has blinded them to the truth. We are asking unsaved men to deal with spiritual issues. We're asking men who simply go to church to be able to attack the forces of darkness. They cannot do it. The natural man receives not the things of the spirit, neither can he. So we're asking unsaved men to do the job that Christ has called the Russ Dizdars and the Coach Dave and the Mark Trump of the world to do. Yes or no, Russ?
Well, 100%. Remember Hebrews chapter 11. When real believers go out in faith, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, routed foreign armies, we've got to realize how with the prayer, the side of prayer, the miracles, and the ministry that we have, the hand of God on our lives, who should be better at this than anyone else? Who should have the commitment to rescue the dying and to go after them? So that's us. That's the believer in Christ. And the good news is anybody that wants to step up and step out, you're going to engage. Okay, so what? Battle comes. So comes blessing. So comes God's great joy. So comes saving lives. I just listened to one of the guys that you probably know from the conferences sitting in my car going up against abortion thing, where he went up against a man that showed up to bring his girl or daughter, whoever it was, for abortion. He went and engaged that man, talked to him, told him it was murder. The man changed his mind and drove the woman away.
Amen.
Saved a life.
Amen. Folks, we're out of time. Go to CoachDaveLive.com. Read my commentary today about sissy men, about soft men. And I want to ask you this question as we go away here. In the annals of biblical history, 2,000 years from now, if the Lord tarries, are they going to be writing about your sissy pastor standing in his pulpit? Or are they going to be writing about Russ Dizdar and what he did on the front lines, baby? ShatterTheDarkness.net. ShatterTheDarkness.net. God bless you, Russ. Thanks for being with us.
Everybody. Love you all.
Amen.